Devam sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This is from a Bhagavatam 427:18, attacked by Chandavega on the city of Paranjana. Saiva Bapuriam Madhubuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadai Upanitam Balim Grinam Strijito Navidad Bhayam. Boliye. Saiva Puram Madhubuk. Panchaleshu Swaparshade. Unaitam Balim Grinam. Strijito Navidad Bhayam. Saiva Puram Madhubuk Panchaleshu Swaparshadam Upanitam Balim Grinam Srijito Navayam Vagam Saiva Puram Madhubuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadam Upanishadai Vanitam Balim Grikham Srijitam Navidad Balam Navidad Bayam. Yes, that's right. Saiva Puriam Madhu Bhuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadam Apanitam Balim Priyam Strijito Navidad Bhayam Saiva Puram Madhubuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadau Dai Upanitam Balim Guram Srijito Navidam Bayam. You can do it slow. You can do it slow. Okay. Next birthday. Seva Puram Madhubuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadai Upanitam Balim Grinam Strijito Navidad Bayam. Okay. Saha. He. Eva. Certainly. Puram. Within the city. Like we have Jagannath Puri. Puri means city. But here Puriyam means in the city. Yeah. Madhubuk. Enjoying sex life. Panchaleshu. In the kingdom of Panchala. Five sense objects. Svaparshadai. along with his followers. Upanitam brought Balim taxes, Grinang accepting Stri Jitaha conquered by women. Na did not Avidat understand Bayam fear of death. King Paranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and he was reaching the point of death. Prabhupada's purport. Government men, including kings, presidents, secretaries, and ministers, are in a position to utilize taxes collected from the citizens for sense gratification. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in this Kali Yuga, government men, Rajanyas, and those connected with the government, as well as exalted government ministers, secretaries, and presidents, will all simply collect taxes for sense gratification. The government is top-heavy, and without increasing taxes, the government cannot maintain itself. When taxes are collected, they are utilized for sense gratification of government officials. Such irresponsible politicians forget that there is a time when death will come to take away all their sense gratification. Some of them are convinced that after life, everything is finished. This atheistic theory was conceived long ago by a philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka recommended that man should live very opulently either by begging, borrowing, or stealing. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death, the next life, the past life, or an impious life, because after the body is burnt to ashes, everything is finished. Yeah, this is a philosophy of those who are too materially addicted. It says philosophizing will not save one from the danger of death, nor will it save one from an abominable afterlife. Have you seen abominable afterlives? Huh? You remember? I've seen some of them. How about some abominable lives? Have you seen people living abominable lives?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Can you give us a little description? Make us afraid of doing sinful things today?
What's that?
Make us afraid of doing sinful, of wasting the money collected for Krishna, for sense gratification.
Faces of
methane.
Yeah.
And
it was shown before and after pictures.
Yeah.
And they're in months. Yeah. You see people looking normal. They're like scars and, you know, sores everywhere around their face. And they look like they're aged 20 years in a matter of months. You know?
Yeah, wow. Okay. Any other stories you can think of? Or just like how it's possible to take in this lifetime to get an abominable karma.
Well, I've seen, I went to the bank with my mother, and there are some people there that their hair was like bird's nests, you know, they hadn't brushed in forever, and their clothes were filthy, and they were very, very, you know, accusing it of smell, like they'd never taken a bath. And I was looking at them, and I was kind of voting at them, I said, you know, they're spirit souls.
Yeah. Karma.
Yeah.
The thing is, if we're trapped in a position where we don't hear about anything else, then we can't get out of it. We never hear about anything else. One devotee, he was in charge of the Gurukula in Dallas for a long time. Rupa Raghunath? And he said he was working for General Electric, you know, manufacturing motors or something like that. And then somebody came to their sometimes these big corporations, you know, they organize lecturers, guest lecturers to come and give lectures on some topic, you know, for the edification of their employees. It's pretty common, almost universal. And so they had some guy there who was talking about Edgar Casey. He was a kind of American mystic, nice guy, he would cure people a long time ago. So Rupa Raghunath said that was the first time he ever thought about something beyond the body. Because all the propaganda is that you are this body, and happiness means to have a place that's good for your skin, you know, and, you know, a very nice, pleasant place, and you'll be happy, you know. If it's some real problem, you can always pull out a cigarette, like that. So it's all this propaganda is you are this body, and some simply bodily arrangement will make you happy. And we have it, so you should work for us, right? Of course, you won't get it today, but you'll get it tomorrow. But of course, tomorrow is always the day after today, so you never quite get it, right? Yeah. So, you know, when he was working for General Electric, it was the first time he ever thought there was something beyond the body. That there's the mind. Wow, the mind. And then psychic powers and that. And that was the beginning of his actual investigation then, you know, spiritual life, you know. So Prabhupada's saying here that, you know, when we're too much absorbed, you know, and under the control of women, or under the control of children, we lose our intelligence. We're just thinking this is all there is. This is all there is. You know? And we don't realize that by misusing, you know, for a government administrator who's collecting taxes and using them for his own personal, not for his you know, peaceful life, but excessive. And Krishna's generous. Like, hey, if you're cheating or doing something wrong, okay, Krishna's a merciful guy, you know. But if you're really doing this a lot and getting into this and people are suffering because of this, you know, the money is supposed to be going for people on the street who are supposed to be giving, you know, morons. There are many morons on the street. You can't understand what's going on. It's all supposed to be taken care of. You know, supposed to stay in some simple place and given a moron's job. I got here 5,000 walnuts, you're supposed to crack 100 a day. Okay. We're going to play some music, and afterwards at 4 o'clock, and six times a day we have nice to eat, and movies at night. Okay, you know. Yeah. Everybody can be engaged nicely, you know, like that. You know, some people can rake leaves in the park, you know, and chase away, you know, keep the kids under control, like that. And he gets a little money, goes home, and it's very nice, you know. But if you're not doing that, if you have this big position with all this power and you're using it for, what's the word? Prabhupada says, gross enjoyment. And you're going to be punished. You know, you're going to be. This was one Mataji, she was explaining how, as a child, she had this horrible things happening to her. Then I mentioned that maybe you were like a king in your last lifetime or something, and comes to enjoyment. And she was thinking it really hit her like you, yeah, yeah. And I was abusing it, and abusing women and children, you know, for my gratification, you know. What's more fun than to abuse children, right? Little children, they don't fight back and, you know, come angry at them and you know, what's more fun than to abuse women? You know, they can't fight back and, you know, what's more fun than to abuse Shudras? They can't fight back, Rama Kshatriya. You know? So if you use your position, then you're going to get a reaction at that in your next lifetime. Yeah. And Charvaka Muni said, beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee. And enjoy life. That's philosophy, you know? Because with ghee, and Prabhupada says he didn't think about killing animals. I wasn't enjoying life. It was some horrible thing. His idea was have ghee and cook nice things with ghee. One devotee says, if you cook newspaper in ghee, it tastes good. Right? You fry newspaper and chew it like that. Die. Beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee. Yeah? So this is the story of Paranjana. Which canto is this? Yeah. Which part of the fourth canto? We're going to take our Padapadma course. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, but which part of the fourth canto? Beginning, middle, end? Why does it occur? Why is the story of Paranjana here? I get a triple echo here. You there. Prahu? Yeah, Pratini Barisha, Pratini Barihi. And who are his sons? Who are the sons of Maharaj Pratini Barihi? Yes, yeah. So where are they while Narada Muni is talking? They don't understand what the conversation and what's going on like that. Well, that's self-realized. It's close, it's close, it's close. Yeah. Yeah. They were, their father was a great personality, like, and he was like, you know, the chief executive officer of Moron. Micron, sorry, yeah, you know. Yeah, Micron. He was like a, you know, very generous person. He was supporting all this, like, science research to produce medicines to help people by slaughtering thousands of animals, you know. For example, hairspray, you know. Ladies use hairspray to increase their satisfaction. But maybe it's going to hurt your eyes, you know. So how do they test that? They spray it into rabbits' eyes continuously to see if there's any reaction. Okay. So this is science. They stop that. Yeah, but, you know, the animals are used for so many things. But in the animal sacrifices in Vedic culture, it's the same thing. You're using animals to produce some result, to produce some energy for human beings like that. You know? So he was engaged in all these things like that. You know? And then his sons were like, you know, they were born in a rich man's house, good education. So sometime when they were growing up, he said, okay, now you have to go to the university, right? And do austerities. You've got to study, you've got to stay up late at night, you've got to do all these things. So you can become doctors, lawyers, engineers. And if you become that, then what happens? If you're an engineer, you can get good money, right? And with good money, you can enjoy family life, right? Yeah, like that. So this is the same old story, hasn't changed. You know, rich man's sons and everything else are sent off, you know, to do austerities so they can be, you know, successful in family life. You know? But somehow or other, he was a pious person. You know? Narada Muni is, if you go through the Bhagavatam, it's a whole great project. Just go through the Srimad Bhagavatam and take all the examples of Narada Muni's preaching styles. He's the main preacher. People say that Narada Muni is the most frequent person in Srimad Bhagavatam because his disciple wrote the book, right? Vyasadeva wrote the book, and so he's always, my guru did that, this and that. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, people say that, you know. But in any case, he is very, very prominent. And he preaches to so many people. He enlightens them. But almost never does he talk directly, you know. This story about Paranjana is an indirect allegory to Maharaj Prachinibarihi, because he knows Maharaj Prachinibarihi is not going to listen to him if he talks to him directly. And he says, oh, no, he's a very pious guy. He comes to his house and says, oh, Narada, great, you know, PhD, Brahmana, whatever. It's time for lunch. Come in. And we'll have some nice lunch together. Vegetarian food, like that. Then after lunch, Narada Muni says, oh, king, you know, would you like to hear a story? You know, and everyone likes to hear a story after lunch. He says, once upon a time, there was a king named Maharaj Prachinibarihi. He was doing this and that. Paranjana. He was doing this and that, and this and that, and this and that. So, you know, after hearing the whole thing, then Maharaj Prachinibarihi says, Narada, says, yes, Maharaj. Yeah. Now, I'm Paranjana, aren't I? He says, yeah. He says, very clever. But I can see what you're saying is true. Yeah, it's true. You know. So then he was effective. So it's a great project to go through the Bhagavatam and take all these examples of Narada and how he approaches different people and different consciousness and relates to them differently, you know. With people who are more surrendered, like Yudhisthira, sometimes he, like, you know, chides him. You know, chiding? It means mild chastisement. Okay. Now, what Yudhisthira is thinking, oh, my poor old uncle and aunt, they've gone off. Maybe I didn't protect them well enough. They're humiliated. They're going to go drown themselves in the Ganges, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Oh, I have to go save them. Then Narada Muni comes and says, you're going to save them? You know, you're already in the clutches of death yourself, and you're going to save them. You know, oh. So Yudhisthira thinks, well, yes, it's a fact. He said, don't worry. Krishna's taking care of them. You take care of yourself first. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah? So he was contaminated by this idea of being everybody's best friend. Bhoktaram negatapas jam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Yeah. Yeah. That's the end of the seventh chapter? Fifth chapter. End of the fifth chapter. I'm a supreme proprietor. Everything belongs to me. I just haven't been able to get it yet. Like that. But I'll get everything. You know? And I'm the supreme enjoyer. You know, I should enjoy everything. The best ice cream, the best, you know, motor cars. You know. And then what else? Well, I'll escape that. But oh, I'm everyone's best friend. I have to take care of people. Yeah. Okay, to some degree. But only Krishna is everybody's best friend. And you can be people's best friend by informing them of that fact. I remember when I was a child, my mother and father said that, you know, you have somebody in school, you have a heavenly father, you know. He will always take care of you. We might die and everything else, but you know, your God will take care of you. He's your real friend, you know, complete friend. So Maharaj Prachini Barishat, you know, is being informed by Narada about these things, and his sons are off somewhere else. They're going to come back into the story. Why, in terms of the didactic method of the Bhagavatam, why does this story occur? You know, this is our first seminar in the Padapadma, first PowerPoint show. Summary of all 12 cantos. They're all organized, all 12 cantos. You know, because he's in the genealogical line of. No. Close though. Right idea. The wrong person. Dhruva. And Dhruva's a son of? And he's a son of? Yeah, he's a son of? He's a son of? Yeah. So he's pretty close to God, at God Almighty. He's like, not too far down there. So my great-great-grandfather's God. You know, I mean, from there we kind of get degraded. But that's why. Because he's... Maharaj Parikrit says, please tell me about the children of the Swayamrava of a Manu and all the different Manus. Because during these different Manvantars, different incarnations come. And by understanding them, Ram, Nishringa, you know, Parasaram, we can begin finally to appreciate God. We can become purified. We can reawaken our real nature at that, you know, instead of being carried away by cigarettes and candy canes, whatever your particular attachment is, like that, or computer games. Everybody has their particular material contamination. Imprisonment, shackles. Yeah, all of us. So, you know, he's talking here about Maharaj Paranjana specifically, giving the example of the city. What is the city? The city is? Yeah, how many gates does it have? Yeah, and he's describing it, how we all enjoy it. Sometimes we go to this gate, sometimes we go to this gate. You know, we enjoy different things, you know. And very actually very advanced knowledge, because one gate is for material, hearing about material things and material enjoyment. The other one is for hearing about spiritual things. So even in Western psychology, you've got this, you know, split nervous system, bicameral brain. They're appreciating the same thing. But this is thousands of years ago. You know? So it's very more sophisticated enjoyment. There's two kinds of vastu: Vishvakarma's vastu and Maya Dhanava's vastu. Which one is for material enjoyment? No, by Maya Dhanama. Yeah. And Vishvakarma is for? Yeah, higher elevation like that. You arrange your house in such a way it will create a peaceful circumstance for introspection like that. If you follow Maya Dhanama, it'll create a good atmosphere for partying like that, you know. I guess Maya Dhanama, you would aim the house towards sunset. And Vishvakarma, you aim it towards sunrise. Like that, yeah, yeah. It's very simple, huh? If your house is oriented towards big, heavy, what's the words? Stancia, storage lockers in the southeast corner, and no basement. That's earth. You know? And on this side, you have a nice pond of water out front of your window. You see the sunrise, the morning water gets ionized. You put your altar there, so either you're facing the sun, or else the deities are facing the sun. So that's your life. The basis of our life begins, you know, when the sun comes up in the morning time like that, and there's fresh air, and the, you know, water is like vapor, is ionized, and there's a garden there. And somebody else, his life begins when the sun goes down. You know. Yeah. They have their happy hour, right? Right? The fools have the happy hour. What is the benefit of happy hour if you go to your club? Alcohol is half price. It's like a big... Hey, let's hurry up. You know, alcohol is half price. Like that, you know? But then for a devotee, happy hour is hour and a half before sunrise. Brahma Muhurta, followed by beautiful sunrise. And for the mode of passion, when the bank's open, you know, when you can start, you can get back on the phone to Japan. You know, if I get this done, my God, I'm gonna make, you know, 1% on a $200,000, you know, what they call it, storage, data storage, you know, allocation like that. Wow, I just got to get back there quick, you know. And then I can do that. I can use that money to just, you know, leverage this apartment building, which I can buy. Okay, you know. So the happy hour is when, you know, when the bank's open, when the business is open. You know. So Paranjana is enjoying this body, you know, and he's exploiting everything. He's collecting taxes because the senses have all this ability. It's amazing. The senses have so much energy. You know. The body is compared to a boat, human body. And the senses are? Remember that? Who's the captain of the boat? Who should be the captain of the boat? Okay, and what are the favorable winds? Huh? Well, there's different things are in place. It's the senses, sometimes I describe the senses. Because human senses have a tendency to be good, to act properly. So we just use those things. Like my human body, I have a tendency to eat nice things, you know, whereas a pig's body, you have a tendency to like track out, you know, really nasty, pungent, you know, grossly reacting foods, you know. But even like a child, if you give them a sugar cube, they'll react like that, because you try sometimes, sugar burns. Eating sugar, you can feel it burning, but we become addicted to this. Yes, oh, I like this, you know. You know? Yeah. And it gets a little bit more addicted than alcohol, which burns even more when it goes down. Ah, onions, you know. Other foods, fruits and roots, they have sugar. They have these things, but it's very much more using more mild fashion, you know. So you're used to that, and you're used to a mild reaction, and you live a long time and develop a lot of knowledge and just, you know, go on working, you know, day after day, year after year, you know, better and better. You know? So we have this human body, and a human body, if it's a human being, you know, is inclined towards these things. So that's the push. You have this favorable breeze from the senses. And the spiritual master then can teach us how to orient our sails, you know, to use these things to, like, you know, become successful. So we're not against the senses. We're actually quite in favor of the senses. So Paranjana is here in his body, and these taxes are there. The senses, they give you all these things. He's taking all this, but he's not using it, not using it properly like that, you know. Becoming engaged with the opposite sex for the purpose of, you know, simply agitating more and more. They're trying to become God, you know, like that. Yeah? So, and what's the result going to be? I don't know. So, any other questions or comments? About King Paranjana? Anybody reading this? Yeah. 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 No, because anyway, Krishna engaged him. Krishna engaged him in devotional service. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. He wanted to give them yantra vidhi, right? Knowledge of how to make machines. But Krishna said, nah, it's just a trick. And more, you know, it's labor-saving devices. Labor-saving devices almost never are. You end up, you know, more work with a labor-saving device. Okay. We won't have to think anymore. We have computers. You know, you just feel how many people are spent using their brains just to, right? Just to make the computers work like that. Yeah. Now you're not thinking about things in a kind of a decent fashion. Now you're forced, like, you know, what's wrong with line 47 on the code? You know, it's like Prince Wang. You know, you remember Wang computers? The one Chinese guy at this computer company was kind of, he was defying everybody, all the big corporations. He was kind of successful for some time like that. You know. So there was one book called The Tao of Computing. You ever see that? It was done by some big programmer in Los Angeles. It has Winnie the Pooh on the front cover in a little Chinese suit with, like, you know. It was jokes, but, like, you know, computer jokes. You know. So one time, Prince Wang was walking with his head programmer, and he said, which is harder to design, an operating system or an accounting package? And the head programmer thought for a while, and he said, an accounting package. And Prince Wang was surprised. He said, well, why is that? He said, because, oh, an accounting package has to satisfy so many end users. It has to match up with what they want, the information like that. So you've got to get involved in social structure, philosophy, all these things like that. Whereas an operating system just sits in its own isolated space, you know, working like that. So Prince Wang is nodding with realization. But then with a glint in his eye, he turned and said, yes, But which is easier to debug? Yeah, because if you got some problem with the operating system, Baba, it's way down in there to try and find out what in the name of in the time is causing this problem like that. You know? So then you got to break your brain to try and serve this robot, you know, mental robot. Yeah? So labor-saving devices. So Krishna engaged him properly, you know, giving him the proper thing, which was a nice palace. So, it's got a little short thing here. And it goes on, how many? Was it? It goes on like that. This is actually the first half he was enjoying like anything and like that. But now the second half of the program, he's going to start like suffering and be dragged off and humiliated and everything else like that. Yeah? It's a whole package deal. Yeah? Like that. Yeah. Is there a final question? I don't know. Let's pop here. Yeah. Tonight we have a program, right? Tonight? It's your house. Yeah. Is it just the Padapadma people, or it's a public invitation?
It's very limited.
Okay. No, I'm trying to find out. Cause I think more like, you know, because. Okay. Yeah. We never did our PowerPoint shows here. Hmm. 12 canto. Once I did in. Yeah, Houston and I did this. You saw this, the first two cantos, but also there's also an overview of all 12 cantos. Yeah. Similar, yeah, but it's all 12 cantos. So maybe we want to some point this Wednesday or next Wednesday I can just go. You have them? Did you use them? Maybe you should have gotten them. Okay, so I can just go through them and show you like how they work. Because it's very nice. When you see this, it's nice. You know, the graphics are there. You can see, yeah, the whole thing is organized very systematically. You know, and I've been even looking on picked up a little bit more on the first two cantos. How they even like this break, and even more like high natural groups. It's almost like even the Bhagavatam was even written for like about like you know five or six verses at a time. It's like you know it talks about one subject and the five or six verses and something else. You know, and if you kind of read those beforehand, you can take them as a practical unit, you know, in your study. You know. The more we improve these classes, everything, you'll make more money, you'll be more powerful at work, everything will increase, there'll be more water flowing. you'll predict things. I predict there'll be more water flowing in Idaho. Shubhavai Vatam Ki. Shubhavapad Ki. So tomorrow, 527:19. Okay. 21 rounds.